Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Chris Temple, founder and editor of The National Investor. Now Chris, a bit of a boring or flat day for markets. Let's start off with the U.S. equity markets and kind of a broad-based question here that I think everybody is wondering is, are we going to get any sort of a correction that lasts more than a day or two and isn't bought back almost immediately? Even this most recent correction that happened about 2 weeks ago on Thursday, it started to get bought back. Yes, it didn't reach the levels that it was at the earlier part in June, but again, there seems to be this buy the dip mentality, or at least the mentality that the Fed has your back, so take any weakness as a buying opportunity. Do you see this changing?
Well, I think it's going to change somewhat, and as I've been suggesting recently, Corey, with the news getting progressively worse as far as this whole virus thing is concerned, and now you've got Governor Abbott in Texas who is sounding the alarm, and he's going to start to clamp down on public activity. That is starting in some places here in Florida even, and though I believe the statistics have been massaged to a great extent as far as this Wuhan virus is concerned to meet certain ends, the fact is that everybody is going to be reacting negatively to this. And it's, as I've said for a while, you know, the daily average death rate, and I heard this morning, at the peak in April, you had about 2,000 or 2,200 deaths, I think, a day. You've got a third of that number, and I'm talking about nationally right now, a third of that number. Yet the case count has gone up because of a lot more testing. And keep in the back of your mind, folks, if you've had the flu any time in the recent past in your life, any flu, you will test, quote, positive for a, quote, coronavirus, which every cold and flu is a variation of. So I still think that we're making more of this than we should be. That doesn't mean that if you're vulnerable, sick, old, whatever, you shouldn't take precautions. You most certainly should. But right or wrong, the end result of this is going to be that a lot of people are going to stay home. A lot of people that were just thinking about going out and taking trips and spending money and doing whatever are going to rethink those things. And that's going to have rolling repercussions of all kinds, as we can understand. You know, less travel, less demand for gasoline, these ridiculous bounces in the cruise lines and the airlines, they're reversing as they should. And I think it's going to bleed down ultimately into the broader economic statistics, the employment numbers. We'll hear a lot about that next Thursday, et cetera. So, you know, the Fed can only do so much to lessen that. And I continue to believe, especially when you look at that so-called island reversal we had in the S&P 500, which is still there. It's still technically a reversal signal. We're within a few points of breaking back below again the 200-day moving average on the S&P 500, and I really think, you know, and I'm not an alarmist, but I think that the best we can expect is the S&P 500 settles back in a range it was in through most of April and the first half of May, you know, 2750, 2775 on the bottom, maybe 2950 on the top, and see how all of this evolves. But things are definitely going the wrong way, you know, and investors, Corey, were willing to ignore a lot of stuff that we may have to reckon with later, based not just on the Fed, but on this rosier scenario than what is turning out as far as the economy reopening. And now that that is getting hit pretty hard with all of these new things, and now, of course, the turnabout where and there's got to be some delicious interstate rivalry involved here. But, you know, don't forget that early in the year here in Florida, the governor put up roadblocks. We didn't want people from New York and New Jersey and Connecticut coming in. Now that's been reversed. Now they don't want people from Florida going up there.
So, Chris, when it comes to what actually impacts the markets throughout this whole recovery, let's call it, from that washout in March, economic data hasn't seemed to matter. And I realize some of that economic data was when the shutdown was happening, and some of the recent data has been very early on in terms of these restarts, but the data hasn't mattered. It really seems like everybody is waiting for some city or state to go through another shutdown, and that would, I think, really drive down these markets. When do you think, or what will it take for some of this economic data to actually matter rather than simply a shutdown, which it seems like governors are very, are trying to avoid?
Well, look, I think for a while now, and again, this has been juiced, as we all know, by the Federal Reserve and all of this money printing they're doing and enabling all of this, not just the rally generally being more than what you would historically see, but all of this crazy nonsense of buying bankrupt companies and people with an IQ of 50 getting on their computer and playing Robin Hood. Trading platform and thinking that they're going to get rich quick by trading stops and options, neither of which they know a thing about. So, the Fed has enabled that. Unfortunately, it's going to blow back on people. But they've all been willing to do this based generally on the notion that they will ignore, for the time being, all the economic news. We're writing off the second quarter. And in the back of everybody's mind is this idea that by the third quarter, we're going to see a more sustainable rebound in economic activity take hold. And then by the fourth quarter, we're going to be right back where we were close to it when last year's fourth quarter ended. That's generally what people have had in mind. You can argue about how each individual piece of economic news plays into that and supports it or doesn't support it. And I don't know if you can point to any one thing still to come, although I do want to talk about next week's employment number. But I think that as the evidence mounts that generally rosy scenario is not going to happen, you're not going to see an economy as strong at the end of the year, and notably on election day, as people were thinking not that many weeks ago. We may be well into next year before it happens, if it does at all. And if these numbers and the fear mongering on the virus get progressively worse, and we do see a move toward broader lockdowns again, which right now, even in Democrat-run states, doesn't seem to be the route people want to take. Then you got to rethink everything, and then we go considerably lower where risk assets are concerned. But I think it's going to be one piece of news at a time, and we won't know until after the fact which one of them it was that finally did tip the bulls back out of the bullish camp and into bearish.
Yeah, fair enough. We will only know when it actually happens, but with all this negativity, or it definitely sounds like you are leaning heavily on this bearish side, time frame unknown, does that mean you're trying to take short positions? Because that's been a very tough game.
Well, it has been a tough game, and I actually did just tell people to put a few modest short ETFs back on. And I'm glad that I did. We'll see how they turn out. You don't bet the farm on any directional move like that, especially at a time like this. But I think that you do part of that. You still need to have a high cash position. As I said in a new issue I just sent out this morning, I looked particularly at a few big winners we've had recently that I think might be vulnerable if the overall market turns down and we took a step toward the exit door of locking in some profits. So, you always manage your portfolio, Corey, as if it was an ocean liner, and you're going to correct your course a bit here and there, but you don't make abrupt wholesale changes. I've never advocated managing a portfolio like that. And so with this philosophy that I have of treating it like an ocean liner, you start to you maybe shift 5 or 6 or 8% away from net bullish to less net bullish when you look at your investment mix. Even with adding a few short ETFs again, we're still probably 40%, give or take a little bit, net bullish as far as stocks are concerned. But I have to specify that those stocks are individual ones that I like. I'm not talking about the broad market.
Okay. Chris, quick comment regarding gold. Gold tested resistance, has a lot of the bulls excited, but has turned around generally yesterday, still trading in generally higher level and a higher trading range. But it also seems like gold is starting again to become tied to broad markets, just a general money coming in, money going out, all going hand in hand with other assets and broad markets again. What's this environment? We discussed it last week. What's your follow-up comments on this?
Well, it is the environment. And I said last week that I did not like the fact that gold was starting to move pretty much with everything else. It's not every day that it does it, but it's enough to make me concerned that at the least, the odds of gold breaking the ceiling around $17.75 an ounce, give or take a bit on a spot, and breaking out to a new high, those odds have been greatly reduced as the stock market has started to turn down again. And if it continues to, we will again have seen the highs for the gold space for a while. I think gold, if we saw a more significant correction in the stock market, gold itself would hold up better than most things. Gold stocks, I don't know. I'll say again, in an environment that's kind of questionable like this, without positive momentum, you do not want to be in the gold ETFs. You want to know every single gold company that you own and make a conscious decision to ride it out if we get more of a correction across the board in stocks that would take maybe for a while the gold stocks with it again. So, that's the cautious tone I have now. And of course, even more so in this context, it's a reason why silver just is not going to break out anytime soon. It will continue to disappoint the silver bugs.
Yes, you and I have talked about that quite a bit. Let's wrap it up with comments on next week, the economic data, the jobs data, and I think even more importantly, the month end and quarter end. So always some rebalancing that happens there. What are you going to note? What are you going to pay attention to? What are you expecting?
Well, there's two things. I mean, all else being equal, Corey, when you've had as big a rebound as there's been in the stock market in the recent past, there will be some downward pressure as funds that are required by their mandate to do so rebalance. It could be the last couple of days of the month. It could go into early July. It's not going to be dramatic all in one fell swoop that you have a 5% change one way or the other necessarily based just on that. But it is going to be one lingering negative influence on stocks that would keep at the least any rally attempt in check. The big thing is going to be next Thursday, not Friday. It's going to be Thursday because Friday is a quasi start of a 3-day weekend down here for Independence Day. I don't know. You'll have to tell me how you're doing it up there because Canada Day is the first, right?
July 1st. Yeah. So we're off on Wednesday.
So you're off. Okay. So just in the middle of the week, you're off. All right. So here for a lot of purposes, with the fourth being on Saturday, it's going to be a 3-day weekend officially or unofficially. So given that, what's typically a Friday release of the June employment number is going to come to us next Thursday. And what everybody is waiting for with bated breath is to what extent the Labor Department is going to correct what everybody knows was an aberration last month. That was a report that came out far better than what the actual facts were. And some of that concern has been amplified today, though the market is treading water right now, more or less after yesterday's big drop, when you had a move higher again in weekly jobless claims, bringing the grand total since this whole mess started earlier this year to 47 million new filings for unemployment claims. So we'll see how much all of that and any corrections to the past numbers are reflected next week. Odds are that as the May number surprised everybody to the upside because it was so incorrect, there's going to be a letdown next Thursday, and that'll weigh on stocks also, I think.
Okay. Chris, we're going to wrap it up there. Good chatting with you. Thanks again for taking some time and breaking down where you see the markets going. More importantly, what some of the major drivers could be in the relatively near term. I will post a link to the National Investor website so everyone can read over some of your free material and sign up for your newsletter. Chris, thanks for your time today.